Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. I want to try something here real quick. Stomp your feet, clap your hands, everybody ready for a barnyard dance. Okay, so now some of you are probably thinking, that's it, Schaefer's finally lost his mind. But the rest of you are bopping along going, bow to the horse, bow to the cow, twirl with the pig if you know how. Because those are the opening lines of the book Barnyard Dance by the best-selling children's author and illustrator Sandra Boynton. A book that kept me from going crazy when my older daughter was a toddler and wouldn't go to sleep. It wasn't just Boynton's familiar, friendly animal illustrations. There was such an obvious beat to the text that when you read it aloud, it almost sounded like country music, like a hoedown. So it's no surprise that Sandra Boynton has made a country music album. The surprise might be that it's taken her so long. She's here to share her new book and record called Frog Trouble. And I don't know what it is about country music and taking a long time, but Emmy Lou Harris and Randy Crowell have been friends and colleagues for something like 40 years, but they didn't get around to making a duo record together until this year. They joined us downstairs in the green space to play some of it live for us, and we'll hear that later.
Toys. When company comes, I can't make any noise. Whoa. They say I must take a bath.
In country music songs, there's one topic that's very popular: heartache. But on this song, singer Kacey Musgraves is singing not about love gone wrong, but about cleaning her room. Now, if that don't put a tear in your beer, I don't know what will. Heartache Song was written by the humorist, illustrator, and author Sandra Boynton, and it's one of the star-studded tracks on her new country-flavored book and CD called Frog Trouble and 11 other pretty serious songs. Sandra Boynton's here to talk about, well, actually, let's talk about Frog Trouble. Sandra, what on earth is Frog Trouble?
Well, I'm not going to give it away. That would be a spoiler. Frog Trouble is the title track of this country album. And it's where I started with the project 2 years ago. This was a long time in the making. When I decided to try my hand at country music, my own personal connection with it is through the cowboy shows of the early 60s.
And like Gunsmoke and Bonanza.
All of them. There are about 150 cowboy shows from around then. And I think I watched every single one and I knew all the theme songs. So that's where I wanted to start, was sort of with the quintessential cowboy theme song. And so that one, it starts with a, truly sounds like a theme song, and then morphs into a disaffected, lonesome cowboy track sung by Mark Lanegan.
Mark Lanegan from Screaming Trees and Queens of the Stone Age.
The same one, the same Mark Lanegan. You might not think of Mark as country because he isn't at all, but he is the perfect. I wanted to go quite eclectic with the artist roster on this. There are some classic country stars. I wanted to go a little farther afield. And Mark Lanegan, there can be no better disaffected cowboy than Mark Lanegan.
Singing the title track from Sandra Boynton's new book and CD called Frog Trouble.
There's a wind from the west, and it blows mighty restless and free. And you know that it's best if you go, for there surely will be trouble.
Okay, stranger, you don't know me, and I don't know you, but I'm telling you this, and it might be true. There's only one thing gets a cowboy down. It's the kind of trouble that we've got in this town. Frog trouble. When I'm walking along, minding my own business, they'll leave me alone. If you ask me how I'm doing today, I shake my head. I got two words to say: frog trouble. And here's two more: frog trouble.
That is Frog Trouble, the title track from the CD and book called Frog Trouble and 11 Other Pretty Serious Songs. Sandra Boynton here with me on Soundcheck. So you mentioned like the 60s Cowboys shows. There's a kind of Sergio Leone spaghetti western.
There is. And actually the guitar player on that is a Nashville guy named Kenny Vaughn, who is just fabulous at that kind of, actually he's fabulous at everything, but he was just fabulous at evoking that whole era and that whole kind of music.
That Ennio Morricone,
yes,
good, bad, and ugly
exactly,
kind of stuff.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. At one point, we even had that little flutter in it from Good, Bad, and the Ugly, but we took it out. We thought that might be a little bit too close a quotation.
So now this is, I mean, people, of course, know your children's books, your greeting cards. Hippo Birdie 2 U's has probably sold, what, millions of cards?
Millions of cards, yes.
This is not, though, the first time you've done a record.
No, this is actually, it's the fifth book CD project I've done for, ostensibly for children. I call it Renegade Children's Music because in general, I don't really like what's done for children. I think it's too simplistic. I think it's kind of condescending. And it's actually the seventh album I've done. I also did a recording of the Bolero with kazoos, a complete recording of Bolero with kazoos.
Ravel's Bolero.
Yes, exactly. Who else?
Okay. All right.
And then it's fully orchestrated, but with 300 kazoos and orchestra. And then I also did an album of plain chant in Pig Latin called Grunt.
Right.
So this
is your first country effort.
This is my first country effort.
And how was it wading into those deep waters in Nashville?
It was actually a lot harder than I expected. It's a... I think I've never felt so much an outsider when I first started on this project in Nashville. But it did turn around, and actually the key door opening for me was I decided I really couldn't get a foothold in Nashville. Everyone's waiting to see who else was signing on and if nobody signs on. But fairly quickly Alison Krauss signed on, and I'd worked with her before. And I sent her the song called End of a Summer Storm, and she liked it, and she said, I'd love to do this track. So she had signed on, and we set up a recording session, and then I had no one else, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to show up in Nashville. I'm going to do this session first, and I'm going to record the instrumentals for all the other tracks, even without the singers yet, so that I'll exist here in Nashville. And actually, Victor Krauss, Allison's brother, wonderful bass player,
yep.
Who I knew, he was the one who... he has children, he has my other albums, and I said, can you get together the session players you think should be on this? And he listened to all of the demos that I had, and he said, absolutely, I know who I want to put together. So that's where we started, and once, it's a backwards way to do things, to record the tracks without the singers, but it was an important door-opening thing. Then it existed. The project existed, and I existed in Nashville.
So, I guess I would have expected that you could just kind of blow into town and say, hey, I'm Sandra Boynton, I'm doing this book and CD thing, and all these singers who have kids would say, wow, Sandra Boynton, I've read your books to my kids, of course I'll be on your record. It didn't happen that they weren't...
It didn't quite happen. So I guess I should have had you call ahead and tell people that I was coming. I thought it would be my easiest project to sign people on because my other albums have done well and people know about them. And it really wasn't like that. It was in every way. I'm glad it went that way, though it was hard because it brought about what is my... I guess my favorite, if you have a favorite, my favorite track on the album, but maybe because it turned everything around. There was a point at which I woke up after just truly months of trying to get the project off the ground. And I blurted out Nobody was there. I don't usually speak to myself, I think. But anyway, I said, I should just write a song called When Pigs Fly. And I'd written all of the songs for the album at that point, and I thought, I should write that song. And I did. I wrote it probably the fastest I've ever written a song. And it's not a funny song. You'd think that it would be humorous with a title, When Pigs Fly. But it wasn't. It was about not losing heart. And when I write a song, I tend to hear a favorite singer singing it in my head. It helps with the songwriting. And The person I kept hearing was Ryan Adams. And I thought, well, that's a long shot.
Ironically, a guy who does not have kids.
A guy who does not have kids and is not Nashville. He's in L.A. Luckily, I knew his manager. And so I knew I had a shot at least asking about it. So I called his manager, Michael Meisel. And he said, it's just such a long shot. But he said, I will have him listen. And I got a yes from him 2 days later on that. And that was, and I flew out to L.A. 3 weeks later and was working with Ryan, producing the track. You know, I produced, he sang, just incredible session. And it turned everything around. And it turned, I mean, talk about a self-fulfilling song.
Yeah.
You know, it's like oddly self-fulfilling.
This is the song When Pigs Fly from Sandra Boynton, from her album Frog Trouble, and featuring vocals by Ryan Adams.
Did I hear somebody tell you that dreams are nothing but air? Did I hear somebody try to say imagination will take you nowhere? If anyone says it can't be done, that's the time to simply reply. It's a beautiful thing when pigs fly. You never know when it will be, but they will surely come around. Flashes of pink and flashes of gold and a distant and joyful sound when pigs fly.
When Pigs Fly from the singer Ryan Adams and the songwriter Sandra Boynton. Yes, that's Sandra Boynton, the illustrator and author who is also a songwriter and a Grammy-nominated music producer. Three of your records have gone gold, right?
They have. One's almost platinum, which will be very exciting if and when that day comes.
The album and book are called Frog Trouble and 11 Other Pretty Serious Songs. Now, that is, you know, When Pigs Fly, that is a pretty serious song, but most of the album is fun.
Yes, it's really not very many pretty serious songs. But,
and as it says on the cover, for ages 1 to older than dirt, so we older than dirt types can find something on this for ourselves as well. But then that's always been, you know, if something for kids works, whether it's Bugs Bunny or Barnyard Dance or something else, it's because there's something in there for the adults too. You know, there's something that, because you're going to hear it or see it a lot.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you. I call this the Rocky and Bullwinkle effect because I remember watching it when I was, you know, 5 or 6 years old and loving it. And then you watch later and you think, really, Boris Badenoff? I mean, that's so brilliant. And so I really like layered things, but not where there's – sometimes people do that where there's a sort of a joke on children that they're not getting. That's not at all, I think, the right thing. But I think to have layers and nuances, what better thing to do than to share with your kids rather than to wince when music comes on?
So you ended up, as he said, with Ryan Adams being on board, and that kind of turns the project around. Now suddenly the yeses are coming in.
It's very true. I think actually people were intrigued because actually at that point I had Alison Krauss. I had Darius Rucker because I'd worked with him before when he was with Hootie and the Blowfish. And once you add Ryan Adams to Alison Krauss, Darius Rucker, and then Ryan Adams, I think people became intrigued. So it wasn't, you do know, it's kind of like, okay, I'm curious now.
So you end up getting Brad Paisley and Dwight Yoakam and Fountains of Wayne and Ben Folds and Alison Krauss, you had already, as you mentioned. One of my favorites on the record is this song called Copycat, which features Brad Paisley.
Yes.
And although they're not credited, except in the fine print at the end,
There's
a chorus that keeps copying. Now, it's the oldest joke in the world, but it's done so well here. The chorus is Fountains of Wayne.
Yes, it is. The reason they weren't credited here, and it was debated back and forth, and then on the CD version of them I did put, is that the band backing up is not Fountains of Wayne. So I thought that might be confusing for people, but yes, it's very much. And that part, the Fountains of Wayne part, was recorded here in New York.
Let's hear a little bit of the song featuring Brad Paisley and the band Fountains of Wayne, who do have their own track elsewhere on the record. But this is the song Copycat.
You have my three best friends most every way. I've got no doubt about that. But there is one thing I'd like to say. I really don't like it when you copycat.
When you copycat.
No, 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 copycat.
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 Please don't copycat. Copycat.
Copycat.
I really don't like it when you copycat.
I really don't like it when you copycat.
That's so annoying.
So annoying.
Last week I bought me a cowboy hat. Now you guys are wearing them too. Why, oh, why do you copycat when I don't copycat,
copycat you?
No, 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 copycat.
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 Please don't. Copycat. Copycat.
Copycat.
Copycat.
Copycat.
I really don't like it when you copycat. Seriously.
No, seriously.
I mean it. Well, I know you think it's funny. It's funny.
That's Copycat featuring Brad Paisley and a very annoying Fountains of Wayne, but all in good fun.
All in good fun.
From Sandra Boynton's book and CD called Frog Trouble and 11 Other Pretty Serious Songs, which you didn't just write the songs, you produced the record.
That's true. I produced the record, yes.
So what's it like to be on, in the control room there and having like Dwight Yoakam and Brad Paisley on the other side of the talkback?
It's a little surreal. I mean, I've done it a lot now. I think I've done, 75 tracks over these albums. But it's never seems the same. It never is the same. It is very similar to what I thought my career direction was. I was on my way to become a theater director when sort of my greeting card career took over, and I had a baby and just thought, you know what, this is going to work a whole lot better than a theater career to be writing books and doing cards. So I'm in a sense back to my first love, directing. And I really love working with performers. I absolutely think that dynamic is absolutely the best there is.
So before you became the Sandra Boynton of greeting card and children's book fame, you were headed down a theatrical path.
Yeah.
What about, you write the songs, and,
yes,
it's not like C, F, and G chords, It's like there's some serious songwriting going on here. When did that happen?
Boy, that's a little hard to explain. I have a strong classical music background and a lot of choral singing, both all the way through junior high, through high school, and in college. And also, I listened to music, to recorded music, obsessively since I was little. I mean, I grew up in Philadelphia, and I'm the same age as rock and roll. I listened to the radio all the time, and that is truly the golden age of music production. So it's not just songwriting I'm interested in. I'm interested in the ways in which recorded sound is made. And so, in a sense, I think listening quite so obsessively to so many, different kinds of records, and reading their liner notes, and I think that's my training ground in an odd way. That's my 10,000 hours just listening to 45s.
So, who were the kind of the formative artists for you?
Oh, my goodness. The first album I ever bought, interestingly enough, was Billy J. Kramer's Little Children. And he, obviously from Liverpool, friends with the Beatles, same producer, same manager.
Little children, you better not tell on me. I'm telling you, little children, you better not tell what you
see.
I still think it's a great album. I love that album. So, and that's, you know, and I paid for it with 11 years old. I paid for it with babysitting money, and that sort of hooked me. The first number one single I remember hearing on the radio was Sherry by the Four Seasons. And I love the music production and the songwriting of the Four Seasons. So pretty deeply immersed in the whole jukebox era. Mm. One thing that I almost hate to admit, and Buddy Holly, I guess, is my all-time favorite recording artist. I hate to admit this, but it wasn't till this project, till Frog Trouble, and venturing into country music, feeling, how can I do this and be authentic to me, not try to do something anyone else does? I had never fully registered how much the music I listened to and how much country was in that, but how...
In early rock and roll,
you know, and just it's the foundation. Everly Brothers, you know, love the Everly Brothers.
Roy Orbison,
absolutely. You know, and, you know, the track on this album, Heartache Song, is to me very much a Brenda Lee song, and I mean, go back and look at some of Brenda Lee on YouTube. She's just extraordinary, extraordinary. So I think I didn't realize that this album was going to be a coming home album for me. I kept being confused why people kept asking me why I hadn't done a country album. And I thought, I'm from Philadelphia. What? Why do I keep getting this question? And I finally became intrigued, saying, okay, where is my intersection with country? And that was, I couldn't believe how naive I'd been about what my true foundation had been.
We're speaking with Sandra Boynton, the award-winning, best-selling children's author and illustrator, also songwriter and Grammy producer. Her new album is called Frog Trouble, and book as well. And, you know, to me, it's not surprising that you've been getting that question because you've never drawn people. Always animals,
it's
often barnyard animals. And so what kind of music would you be associating with that?
I guess so. I guess I'm just dim. I had not made the connection. I should, by the way, hasten to say you're talking about the music writing. I was lucky early on when I started actually doing these albums in 1996, and partly out of a frustration with the music that was made for children, and I have four children, and I thought, I really want to go this direction. I want to see what I can do in this field. And I was lucky to find the perfect collaborator in Michael Ford. And he's both a classical musician and a wonderful pianist, and also a progressive rock performer, you know, long time in prog rock bands. And a long story of how we met, but we are now the music production team. We have our own studio in the Berkshires, small studio, mm-hmm. And we do all of the music production together. And he's the guy at the controls. He's the engineer. He's also the guy if we're doing demo. He's playing the different instruments. We're doing the arrangements together, but he's playing them on the keyboard. You know, I'm not someone, you know, if you wouldn't want to hear me play piano.
Do you play, though?
Only if no one else is around. I do sometimes write on the piano, but really it wouldn't be for anyone else. Mostly when I write a song, on all of these songs, I did words and melody, and Mike and I did the arrangements together. So he's the guy who knows chordal structure. I mean, I know it by hearing it. I can go, no, it doesn't go there. And luckily, he understands what I'm saying. I go, no, it's the wrong color. It needs to transition here. And he'll play something that's yes. It's a funny interface. I don't know if anyone else could actually work with me than Mike. And he's the most agreeable person in the world.
So between the two of you, Sandra Boynton, Michael Ford, you've had this successful run with the Gold Records and a Grammy nomination. Now this new book called Frog Trouble, CD and songbook. And when I say songbook, you know, one of the things that's in here is the sheet music. You know, it's got all the chords and the melodies, and you can play along, which is part of the fun of Frog Trouble and 11 other pretty serious songs by my guest Sandra Boynton. Sandy, it's been a real pleasure having you with us on Soundcheck.
Oh, it's been great fun to be here, John. Thank you so much.
I don't know just how old I was, but when I was quite small, I found an old piano that no one played at all. I climbed the stool and tried the keys, and soon I found a song. You know, I knew right then and there that here's where I belong. As long as I can keep on playing, I'm happy as can be. Everybody said the piano was broken, but it seems to play for me. Yeah. This old piano's got 88 keys, and six of them don't play. It's out of tune, but honky-tonk is better off that way. Hey, the color is a dusty rose, and the whole front board is gone. So you can watch all the hammers dance as the music moves along. As long as I can keep on playing, I'm happy as can be. Some might say the piano is broken, but it seems to play for me. Yeah, it plays like crazy for me.
That is Ben Folds, playing the song Broken Piano, both singing and playing the piano, from the collection Frog Trouble by my guest Sandra Boynton. Coming up, we won't actually stray far from the world of country music when we revisit a favorite session with two country music veterans and old friends, Emmylou Harris and Rodney Crowell, from The Green Space, next on Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. The singer-songwriters Emmylou Harris and Rodney Crowell are truly collaborative artists, working with various other musicians throughout Nashville and the alt-country community. Rodney played in Emmylou's band for a time, but during a friendship that spans 40 years, the two had never done a record of their own, until this year when they released the album Old Yellow Moon. Back in February, they joined us to perform in front of the cameras downstairs in the Green Space. You can actually watch the video on our website, soundcheck.org, or just enjoy the session now. Here's Emmylou Harris and Rodney Crowell with a song called Here We Are.
Did you say that you've been searching for a place you've never been? Well, here it is. Here it is. You've been down there on the bottom and looking out for friends. Here I am. Here I am. We both grown tired of running after rainbows. Here we are,
darling.
Here we are. Thank you.
Emmylou Harris and Rodney Crowell live on Soundcheck in the green space. Watch the video on our website, soundcheck.org. The song is called Here We Are, and the album is called Old Yellow Moon. Rodney, Emmylou, thank you both for being with us on Soundcheck today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Rodney, did you write that song?
I wrote that song.
Was it a song that had been kicking around, or did you write it specifically for this collection?
Oh, no, I wrote that song.
He was just
many
a pup.
Years ago, I was a wee lad. And just in time for Emmy to record it with the great George Jones.
I think it was 75, very early on.
Somewhere back in there, you know. Yeah. And well, Emmy had recorded my songs, and I was, of course, delighted
right.
about that. And actually, Emmylou has really put me on the map as a songwriter. But then, you know, the caveat to it all was that, you know, she did it with George Jones. So I could go around, you know, say, hey, George Jones recorded one of my songs. Oh, yeah, and my friend Emmy, too.
But there's, I mean, there's a, the reason I asked whether it was for this project is it just fits
yeah.
this project so well.
Well, you can thank Emmy for that, because she's the one who had that
I kind of pushed for it, you know. I think Rodney felt that, you know, he would be competing against George Jones. But you see, I always loved Rodney's voice, loved the way we sound together. And I think the song makes a lot more emotional sense for me and Rodney to do it on this project. You know, it's a great song, and it worked great as a duet with George, but it just takes on layers of meaning for me, mm. you know, to sing that song with Rodney and where we are in our lives right now.
So does this album represent a kind of a completion of a very long, very large circle for the two of you?
Oh, it's still going.
or the start of a new circle.
But the two of you first, I mean, Emmylou, you first heard of Rodney while you were auditioning songs
yes,
for another project.
Yes, auditioning songs. Warner's had put me together with a producer who had a great track record with Anne Murray, Brian Ahern. And and it was my first really big record since I'd kind of discovered what I wanted to do with country music and my voice and everything. But I didn't particularly have any material in mind. And I went up to Toronto, where Brian was living at the time. And he for an entire day, he played me stuff that I didn't like. It just didn't, you know, it just, you know, you just have some kind of a barometer,
right.
you know, that you know something is going to appeal to you. And then at the very end, he hadn't heard Rodney yet. He had just signed him and literally took the mailing wrapping off this cassette, stuck it in, and my meter pinned at that point when I heard Bluebird Wine and Song for the Life. And so Brian got me and Rodney together in D.C. where I was living and working. And the first song he played me when we met was Till I Gain Control Again. So, you know, I just kind of knew that I had stumbled across something really great. And plus, we just got along great from the very beginning. Mm-hmm.
So, and speaking of things coming full circle, so now Brian Ahern also produced
right.
this record, and the song, Bluebird Wine, there's a version of it on this record as well. Why did it take so long to make this record?
Well, I mean, my answer, I guess, is because Rodney and I are real road dogs. I mean, we're always in the studio, we're always touring. Rodney also produces other people's records. He writes books, and you know he's always writing songs, and I'm busy with the same thing, and I also have a working dog rescue in my backyard, which is kind of like my second job at this point, my second career, but I need to keep this career going so I can pay for the second one.
Right.
You know, I think we always knew we would do it, but sometimes you think it's just going to happen on its own, and finally, I guess I just realized, you know, time was passing, and I wanted to make sure that I did this record, you know, while I could still sing, still
now,
think.
But now is the perfect time.
It yeah, is the perfect I mean, time. I agree.
We would have made a fine record in 1987 or mm-hmm. 94, but it wouldn't have been this one. You know, it was worth the wait for me. I was practicing so I'd be ready for when it happened.
We were both practicing.
So the album is out. It's called Old Yellow Moon. Emmylou Harris and Rodney Crowell performing some songs from the record for us here in the Green Space. Again, you can watch video on our website at soundcheck.org. So after the two of you have had this long friendship and association going back four decades, have you talked about songs over the years? I mean, when you finally made the time to do this record, how much, you know, bickering and arguing was there about what songs would happen, or did you already kind of, were you already halfway there?
I want to go on record right here. We've never had an argument in our whole life together.
We never have had one.
I don't ever remember a disagreement.
Mm-hmm.
No, truly. I mean, you would think it's that easy to work with Emmy for me, you know, because Emmy knows what's right, and most of the time I know what's right, and what is there to argue about?
Well, but you have 40 years of songs, so you had to pare it down.
Oh, that. Oh, well, that's not an argument. That's just a matter of, we'll get to the rest of them later.
That was fun, actually. I mean, we we brought some songs. I brought some songs. Brian brought some songs. Rodney brought some songs. And, you know, it just became kind of obvious, you know, which, in the words of Alan Reynolds, who is a great producer and songwriter in Nashville that I've worked with, and he said, the song has to shimmer with the singer. You know, because not every song is right for every singer, you know.
Well, it sort of goes back to what you were saying about, you know, as good as Here We Are was when you did it with George Jones, yeah. Something in your mind's ear was saying, yeah, but Rodney and me, that
well,
would be...
at this point in our life, it seemed like the song had, you know, it was time for us to do it with what the song was saying, so...
What about Dreaming My Dreams? Who brought this one to the table? Emmylou?
Yes, I did.
Where does this come from?
Well, Dreaming My Dreams is one of the great classic songs, definitely country songs, performed most especially by Waylon Jennings, who had kind of a hit with it. But Waylon never cared about hits. He used to say, I couldn't go pop with a mouthful of firecrackers. And but he, I love his... It's the title track of the album, Dreaming My Dreams, that Jack Clement produced, and Jack had also recorded the song. And in a way, I didn't bring it to the table first because to me it had just been done. You know, it was just one of those sacred vessels. But we were working on another song that we liked a lot and having difficulty making it kind of work. I don't know what the problem was, and I kept hearing in my head, well, let's lay this song over the feel of Dreaming My Dreams. And then finally I just said, oh, heck, let's just do Dreaming My Dreams. Because the way we do it, it becomes a conversation between two people. And so it takes on a different, you know, wardrobe. You know, it takes on a different mantle of feeling, I think, and it takes a different kind of storyline.
Now, I'm a big believer in giving credit where due, and while Waylon Jennings is the person that's most often associated with this song, he didn't write it.
No, Alan Reynolds, who I mentioned earlier, who talked about a song, Shimmering, he wrote that song.
All right. You want to play it for us?
We will do it for
you. All right. Yeah, Emmylou Harris and Rodney Crowell. The new album is called Old Yellow Moon. They're performing some songs from it for us on Soundcheck.
I hope that I won't be that wrong anymore. Maybe I've learned this time. I hope that I find what I'm reaching for, the way that it is. Dreaming my dreams.
Emmylou Harris, Rodney Crowell performing live in the Green Space in a song called Dreaming My Dreams. This next song is called Chase the Feeling.
For all you Kris Kristofferson fans out there, this is a Kris song that Emmy and I love, and our good fans who have been following us around these last few days, they like this song too. We're going to send this song out to our three biggest fans.
Your hunger and your problems that are real, and you're dealing with some demons who are driving you insane. I've seen them drag you screaming down the hallways in your brain. You got loaded again. Ain't you handsome when you're high? Nothing matters. Chase the feeling till you die. Let it run on in there, baby. Let it run your life. Let it run your children off. Let it run your life. Let it take the joy you love. Turn it to despair. You knew better, baby. You just didn't care. You got loaded again. Ain't you handsome when you're high? Nothing matters. Chase the feeling till you die. Thank you.
Once again, Emmylou Harris, Rodney Crowell on Soundcheck in the green space. Watch the video online, soundcheck.org. Chase the Feeling, Kris Kristofferson song. I get, you know, every couple of years I'll hear a song and think, oh, that's really good. I wonder who wrote that. And then I'll look at liner notes. It's like, Kris Kristofferson again? I mean,
outside, well, he is Kris Kristofferson.
But, you know, I think to the wider public, you know, they think they know who Kris Kristofferson is.
Was the movie star, probably.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, man, the guy's a really good songwriter.
Yeah, well, he brought a whole different kind of poetry to Nashville and to that whole scene, you know. So we bow down before him.
Yes, he is a poet.
Now, you're both songwriters, although, Emmylou, none of your songs are on this record.
No, I don't have anything in the oven. No fresh batch. And you know what? Most of my career, I've been so happy to record those pre-made-up songs by other people, like Rodney. You know, so I was just delighted to just sing, you know, songs that we picked. Of course, I wanted to do some of Rodney's songs, mm-hmm. revisit those, especially songs that he had written for that other people had done that he had never recorded. Because it's like I wanted people to experience Rodney singing Bluebird Wine the way when I first heard him. So anyway, I had absolutely, there was nothing about, oh, we have to have one of my songs in there. It was always just about the songs that Rodney and I wanted to sing. So.
And I would have been happy if we didn't have any of my songs in there.
Yeah, truly. Well, I wouldn't have.
Because
our disagreement right there.
Fun was, you know, almost singing with Emmy, you know. Doesn't matter what the song is.
Well, but here we are. It was a great way to start us off with this soundcheck performance in the green space. And Kevin on Facebook, writing in from Columbus, Ohio, wants to see you in Columbus at some point soon. Tells us that he's hooked his laptop up to his stereo system and that you guys sound great. So a little bit of instant feedback.
Great.
Well, we need to borrow his equipment so we can listen to ourselves the way he does.
You can watch the video of this set of performances, Emmylou Harris, Rodney Crowell, on our website, soundcheck.org. Having now done this record after 40 years, having, you know, come up, settled on songs, about a dozen songs that really mean something to the two of you, does it feel complete, or does it feel like maybe you've opened another door and maybe there's more to do as a duo?
Well, I don't know. I don't like to plan ahead, you know, but this is just wonderful, and the fact that we're going to get to go out on the road. And yeah, I mean, I would love to do another duet record sometime, you know. I mean, it's as much time as I can spend with my friend Rodney,
mm-hmm.
right.
you know, and whether that's making a record or just hanging out with our grandkids, because
well,
we're both grandparents with separate, you know, families. Here.
Thanks to Bonnie Raitt, we now, our little mantra for this is always be in the moment.
Yeah.
So this is what's happening right now.
So 40 years from now, volume 2?
40 years, it could happen.
certainly could.
Boy, we should hope.
Now, we're going to wrap up with a little bit of, from the record, Bluebird Wine. Mm-hmm. So, now, you mentioned the song earlier, Emmylou.
Yeah.
It's the song that you first heard of Rodney's.
Right.
And the meaning of Bluebird Wine?
Joy. You know, it is drunk on joy is what it really is.
Oh,
I mean, but also, you know, it's like a belly full of a baby's bluebird wine. I wrote that last verse, and I was singing it. You know, I was writing that directly to my old friend, Guy Clark, who, you know, really knew how to have fun.
Yeah.
He still does.
Yeah, that's true.
Another career that has been ageless, but you know, here the two of you are after 40 years finally collaborating on this full-length project called Old Yellow Moon. The album is out now. Emmylou Harris, Rodney Crowell, thank you both so much for coming
thanks
in
for
and playing
us,
for
John.
Us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah.
This is Soundcheck.
Straighten out my crooked ways of thinking. Made it purely pleasure when I drink. And it's all just hit my stride right off the bat. I am drunk on bluebird.
Well, it's great to hear Emmylou Harris and Rodney Crowell working together, but here at Soundcheck, we've been cooking up a collaboration of our own. one that involves a church organ. I'll tell you about it in a moment. This is Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Before we go today, let me welcome those of you listening to us on KCAW Raven Radio in Sitka, Alaska. Good to have you with us on Soundcheck. Also, I want to give you a little taste of a music video we just posted on our website. It features the Swedish organist and singer Anna von Hausvolf, who has played here in our Soundcheck studio, only this time we've recorded her playing the pipe organ at Christ Church on Manhattan's Upper East Side. Soundcheck co-produced the video with NPR Music, part of their field recordings series, and it really is beautiful, with Anna playing the organ, some simple drumming behind her, votive candles everywhere. You can watch it on our website, soundcheck.org. Here's a little bit of Anna von Hausvolf's performance of a song called Funeral for My Future Children at the Christ Church in New York. That's the singer Anna von Hausvolf from Sweden playing the pipe organ at the Christ Church on Park Avenue here in Manhattan. The song is called Funeral for My Future Children. You can watch the full video. It's really beautiful. A collaboration between Soundcheck and NPR Music's field recording series. It's on our website, soundcheck.org. On Monday, TV critic Eric Deggans joins us to talk about the return of Arsenio Hall to late-night TV. And the band Haim takes its name from the three Los Angeles-based sisters at the band's core. They'll join us to play songs from their upcoming debut, Days Are Gone. Plus, with the New York mayoral race heating up, Soundcheck will launch its next listener challenge. We call it Remix the Mayor. Just have to tune in Monday to find out more. Soundcheck is a production of WNYC. Irene Trudell leads our engineering team, with Paul Schneider, Bill O'Neill, Jason Isaac, and Rick Kwan. The show is produced by Katie Bishop, Greta Cohn, and Mike Katziff, with Alex Kappelman, Amy Pearl, and our intern, Alex Martinez. Our executive producer is Joel Meyer. I'm John Schaefer. That does it for today. See you back here on Monday for another Soundcheck.